Welcome, Beamer in for Bowerly one last time here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We were talking before going on the air. I did not plan to start with this or to even mention this today, but just talking about people who are just ungrateful all the time. You know the type I'm talking about. They show their true colors this time of year. You get them something for Christmas, or you say, hey, would you be able to use this? And just not grateful at all. Oh, we really could have used this instead of that. I'm the kind of guy, you give me a gift, I'm thankful no matter what it is, right? Like, I'm just thankful that you remembered me, that you thought of me. You've got some people, and you think it stops at a certain age, right? You think at a certain age, you grow up, you become an adult, right? At least by 30, right, you would think. And I'll tell you, it is amazing to me that people in their 40s, their 50s, their 60s, who are just not adults. Like, they'll just never get to that stage. And you really see it this time of year, the holiday time, where, you know, someone gets them something and they complain about the gift someone got them. I'll never understand that. Again, if I get something and I don't like it or it's not something I will use, I'm still thankful for the thought. And I'm not going to, in front of that person, tell them how much their gift sucked and that I couldn't use it. And you think that's something, you know, when I was in first grade, I complained because for snack, a kid brought pretzels and I didn't like pretzels. That was in first grade. I was put in timeout. And you know what? I learned a valuable lesson. It's the thought that counts. Even if you don't like pretzels. I've grown to like pretzels now at the age of 33. But in first grade, Mrs. McManus's class was not a big fan of pretzels. Anyway, after that, someone brought in a snack I didn't like. I was appreciative they brought anything in, right? And you think at first grade, that's where, okay, people are, the giving part is what matters. Not the gift. It's the giving part. Right? We've all gotten stuff we either didn't really need, couldn't really use, but because we're adults, we take it, smile, thank you so much, thank you for the thought, write a thank you card, and move on. And then if it's something we can't use or something we can return, we'll return and get, you know. But in front of the person, you're supposed to always be thankful and show how much it means to you that they thought of you. And I was amazed in college when I would see people say stuff to the person's face. Someone would come back and say, I saw this at the store. It made me think of you. That made you think of me? I'll never, ever understand that. And again, you think it stops at a certain age, but then you see people in their 50s and 60s and they're just so ungrateful. If anyone was like that to me on my holiday gift list and told me to my face how much they didn't like my gift, well, guess what? You're not getting a gift next year. You'll get a happy holidays and that's it. You'll get a donation to the human fund made in your name, right? I'll never understand that. And how people who are adults, people that hold jobs, they can still be so immature. I've been using this word a lot. It's fascinating to me. It's really fascinating to see how many ungrateful people there are out there who claim to be adults. Again, didn't even think to bring that up today, but it was something we were talking about off the air. How's everyone doing? Happy Thursday. As I said, my final day here in for Tom Bowerly. I'll be back at the 9 o'clock show tomorrow on BMAZ and Beamer. And then I am taking a mini vacation. So you will actually get 3 full days without Joe Beamer's voice on this radio station. And I know a lot of you are applauding as you drive in your cars right now. But lots going on. As always, President Biden just announced, and ABC is actually preempting General Hospital for this. President Biden just announced the winter COVID strategy. So you see what's going on here. Now, what we talked about yesterday, that quarantine for 7 days when you come back from international trips, that's not there yet. That's, again, being discussed, but is not part of this initial plan for COVID. So I thought I would just pass that on to you. The announcement has been made. There are a few stricter things going into place when it comes to testing. But that 7 day quarantine, it did not happen yet. Again, could happen down the road, but thankfully did not happen today. Also, it's a sad day for me as a baseball fan. We are 70 days away from spring training, and the MLB has locked out its players from the facility. There's no more free agent signings, no trades. Winter meetings will not be happening. It's a sad day. I love baseball, right? I mean, after college bowl season, after NFL playoffs, sorry, I love the Sabres, but I'm counting down till pitchers and catchers. I'm counting down to that first spring training game where, you know, you turn the TV and you see signs of summer when it's still freezing cold here. So, real sad. Hope it doesn't get to the point where it pushes the season back. I know we saw the NFL do this a few years ago, and they were able to work things out before camps and everything. But I'm really hoping for baseball that this does not push back. You can cancel a spring training game or two, but I hope it doesn't push back opening day on March 31st. But that's pretty much what I've been following this morning. I walked into work. I told one of our engineers, I said, Nate, I really got to see what's been going on because all morning I've been following the MLB lockout. I've been watching the MLB Network and listening to the press conference, so have to see what's going on. No, I really do know what's going on. Just to be clear, but that's sad, and that's something I'm sure I'll make mention of throughout the next few weeks here at WBEN. But another thing that, speaking of unions, something that's been going on, something that I've been very vocal about. And this is something that I feel, you know, usually the main WBEN audience, you guys usually agree, right? 90% of the calls will be along the same lines, which is great. I love everyone's input. But there's one thing that I really feel splits this audience. And I've talked about it a few times. Brian and I have talked about it a few times. Brian talked about it a little bit this morning before he had Dr. Adalja on. And that is this push for the Starbucks union as the vote nears the finish line. And let's be honest, it looks like after this vote that the yeses will have it. And we could have a few unionized Starbucks right here in Western New York. And hey, I'm all for the employees, you know, getting what they want, the employees making their voice be heard. But I've got to say this, and I know we've talked about this before, and I'd like your thoughts at 803-0930. I'd be very interested to revisit this a year from right now, talk to these employees, and ask them if this push was worth it. Because this is the kind of guy I am. I want to get every dollar that I worked for. I hate seeing my money go to taxes. I'll be honest, I hate seeing my money go to Social Security. I'd like to be able to make a decision with that money, not the government make that decision with my money. So I hate seeing my money go anywhere. And you guys have heard me talk about my first job at Jubilee Food Market, no longer in business. Every week I would get that paycheck. And you would see the union dues coming right out of that. Now, I only worked there for 6 months. I was not the best cashier, let's just say. I wasn't good at making sure everything was scanned, and I would get lost in conversation, and my line would be the longest line because, not because people wanted to get in my line, because it's 4 p.m, there's one register open, and there's Beamer talking to someone about the Virginia Tech football game. So I was not the best cashier, okay? I will be honest, they were right to fire me. It's actually the only time I've ever been fired, but they were right to fire me, and I was not good at that job. I should say that from the beginning. I had no business being a cashier. I was not good at that job. When I worked in retail and I was the receiving lead and they would have to call me up to cash people out, I was not a good cashier. You could probably get my store manager to call in and completely agree with that. And he might say I wasn't good at other things in the retail business, but that's why I'm here now. But I would see that paycheck from the Jubilee Food Market and you would see the union dues taken out, right? And in 6 months working there, I couldn't see the result of the union doing anything, right? I got the state-mandated breaks that you get at any job. I really have no idea what else. I saw no part of that union. But every week for my part-time job as a sophomore at Amherst Central High School, I would get that paycheck and there's $30, $35 out of my, 15 hours worth of pay. And this is when minimum wage was $7.25. And there's $20, not $35. I'm sorry. I over-exaggerated there. But every week there's $20, $25 in union dues being taken out of my check. Now, I didn't see any. The only word from the union I ever got when I worked at the Jubilee Food Market was the little flyer in the break room while I was eating my Reese's Fast Break and drinking my Mountain Dew Code Red, because that's when I still didn't know what calories were and would just, my break would be, a meal's worth of calories in soft drinks and candy bars. But all I would know was that flyer that said, join our union meeting, have your voice be heard. And I thought, at 16, I had this thought. At 16, I look at that and say, let my voice be heard. I'm paying you $25 a paycheck. How about you come to me and I'll let my voice be heard? I am paying you. And now you want me to make another step. Granted, if I'm on the schedule, I can't even go to this meeting. You want me to take another step for my voice to be heard. That's ridiculous. I mean, if I'm going to pay this per paycheck, you could at least come to me. Why don't you do a follow-up and walk through the store? How about you have the union rep who's sitting there in his, $500,000 house, driving his, $150,000 car? Can he roll into Jubilee Food Market and ask me how I'm doing? Can he ask me for my input? Doesn't my $25 a week of my, minimum wage check that was probably $70. Doesn't that $25 get me a chance for a one-on-one without having to go to you? That was my only experience working in a union. I should be very clear about that. And it was very negative. And from that point, and obviously I know people who work in unions and people have mixed opinions of the unions they work for, and we've had these discussions before, but I look at something like a Starbucks, and I'm a millennial, I'm 33 years old, yes, I go to Starbucks, okay, I know I probably don't fit the demographic because I'm not a left-leaning millennial, but I do frequent Starbucks. I love the iced chai tea latte, and the cheese Danish is pretty good, I'm not gonna lie. But I look at Starbucks and most of their employees are part-time, right? These are part-time employees. They're looking for a little extra money in high school or in college. And now, according to what I'm reading, joining a union, they are going to be required to pay those union dues. And I just go back to 16-year-old Joe Beamer working at the Jubilee Food Mart 15 to 20 hours a week and seeing those union dues taken out every week. And for what? For what? What are these part-time employees going to be seeing as a result of the union? And I'd like to ask them what they think they're going to see now. Do they realize, and I'm sure they do they realize that part of their paycheck every week will be taken out to pay those union dues? So what are you expecting in return for those union dues. Like I said, I say we do a follow-up show a year from today, and you will have people calling in saying, you know what, it wasn't worth it. I'm making less now because of those union dues, and it's the same work environment that it was before this push. But I'd like to know from you, maybe I'm wrong. Like I said, this is a very split audience when we talk unions, and I know a lot of you have favorable opinions of unions. A lot of you have views like I do of unions, but I'd like to know from you, 803-0930, star 930, and in your union experience, who does the union usually favor? How many times has the union been there for you? I look back in my experience, not that I ever needed the union, because all I was doing was ringing up people's groceries and then returning the returns to the shelf, and I never had an issue doing that. Well, I never had an issue because of the store doing that. I always had an issue doing that because I'm very easily distracted, which you've probably noticed if you listen to me on a regular basis, that I can be talking about one thing and all of a sudden I'm talking about my water bottle here. So I can be distracted. And when I was with Jubilee, very distracted, not a great employee, not at all. And Jubilee had every right to fire me. I want to make that crystal clear that I know I was a bad employee. I know I was probably a waste of pay for them, and they were right to fire me, and I was on my way to Lenovo. But what did I get out of those union dues? And I feel these Starbucks employees will be asking the same thing. But I want to know from you, what do you think? Am I right or am I wrong? And what do you expect of these the unionization of Starbucks and what the employees will be experiencing if this vote does pass, which it looks like it will. 803-0930, star 930. And we've had these discussions before, pro-union, anti-union, and usually people call in saying, well, the person who benefits the most off a union is the union boss. And again, I can only go back to my one example, but I remember the head of the union one time in 6 months coming to the Jubilee Food Mart, and I think he was doing okay. I don't think he had any issues. I think those union dudes were going right to that nice car, and he had a really nice suit on, all right? But what was in it for me? And I would love to hear from these Starbucks employees, what do you think is going to be in it for you, especially the part-time employees? What do you feel the benefit of a union when you are part-time working 20 hours a week? What is the benefit of that union? For me, there was none. It was just taking money out of my paycheck. But I'd like to know from you, 803-0930, star 930. Tell me about your union experience and tell me what you think is going to come of the result if this vote does pass, which I have no doubt it will. If this vote passes with Starbucks, what do you expect these employees to experience? And are you with me that a year from now, you'll get some of them that are saying, you know what, maybe this wasn't the best move. 803-0930, star 930. Also, tell me about those union dues. As someone said, you can opt out of your union dues. Now, if that was an option in 2004, I missed it. They did not make that option clear to me at my application process. And again, it was just that one experience for me. But it really, as you can probably tell, rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, I've been very anti-union since that experience in 04. So if there's a way to opt out of those union dues, it wasn't there for me in 04, and maybe someone could call in and explain that too. 803-0930. It's Beamer in for Bowerly back after this on WBEN. Oh, let's hope. Let's hope they are ready to play by March 31st. As I talked about in the first segment, the MLB locking out their players at midnight. So that was about, 14 hours ago? Sad day for baseball fans, hoping that gets worked out Spring training opens up in 70 days. So let's hope that they are on the field and ready to play before opening day 2022. Welcome back. We're talking unions, actually, believe it or not. And someone texted in. Someone has texted in. You know, it's been 17 years since I worked at Jubilee. Someone said, Joe, there's no way you were paying $25 a week. You know, it very well could have been a month. Whatever I was paying, I just remember being upset that that was getting taken from my paycheck. So I just want to clear the air. I don't have an old Jubilee paycheck sitting around. I don't hang on to things for 17 years. But if that's the case, Texter, then as I said, I was working 15 hours a week. So I whatever it was enough a week or a month, whatever, for me to say, what the hell am I paying for? So that's the point that I was trying to make. So maybe I had it wrong. Maybe it was 25 a month, not a week. But whatever it was, I just remember being upset going, what am I paying? This is taking money out of my paycheck. I'm not even making 100 bucks. I'm working 15 hours a week at $7 an hour. So whatever it was enough for 16-year-old Joe Beamer to not be happy with it coming out of my paycheck. So let me just clear the air now. But I want to know, what do you think of this move to unionization, this push, as the votes are beginning to get counted? It looks like we could have unionized Starbucks. And again, if this is what the employees want, this is what the employees want. I just think a year from now, they're going to be wishing they hadn't. I think they're going to see that money out of their paychecks, and they're going to notice the money more than they're going to notice any kind of changes thanks to the union. I want to know what you think. 803-0930, star 930. Norma is in Tonawanda. Norma, thanks for hanging on. Good afternoon. Hey, Norma.
I'm calling because I had the unique position of working for a company that was non-union, and then they voted the union in. Couple of issues. As you say, the union money is, you know, for what you get, you kind of go here or there. I guess it depends on who you are, whether you need somebody constantly backing you up or not. But I felt when I was before the union, if I had an issue, I would go to my manager. We would discuss it like, you know, adults. And figure out a solution, and that was that. After the union, it became such a big process. You had to get a union rep, you know, have them come in, wait for they can come in, and it just didn't. And their whole focus with the union is on not necessarily on you; it's on the whole couple 30,000 or whatever people that are working there. So your little problem might not fall into their agenda. And my biggest issue as well was, unfortunately, I had had multiple injuries at work. I had been in and out, blah, blah, blah. I had done 6 months of light duty to try to get back to my job. And unfortunately, there was one aspect of my job because of my injury that I could not complete. I was a nurse. Am a nurse. Out of everything I could do, you know, it was, for a code. I could do everything but compressions, because people don't understand how exhausting compressions and how much work
right. It
is on the person doing them. So one thing I couldn't do out of all everything because of my back and neck. So I had the union in with me because the company says, since I can't do my job completely, that they didn't want to keep me. The union people did not fight for me, even though I told them I knew at least four other people. I worked in the emergency room in my department that could not do compressions for one, you know, physical issue or another, because a lot of us were older. But she said, no, don't bring them up because you don't want to be getting other people in trouble.
Right.
So that's, you know, obviously I didn't want to get other people in trouble, so I didn't bring it up. But however, the union just plain old agreed with them didn't even try to fight for a job under American with Disabilities Act for me, which I'm sure somewhere in that company I should have been able to perform.
I thought that was the job of the union. That's what you pay for, was for the union to have your back no matter what, correct?
Correct, and they didn't. I worked at that place for 26 years.
It's disappointing.
Different capacities. I worked there as an aide while I was going to nursing school. And, no talk whatsoever, even though I said something to the union lady. And I even signed my discharge so-called papers that I was doing it under duress, because I feel that after all that time, there should have been something somewhere that I could have very easily been of help to the company.
Right.
So now I go from, you know, having worked overtime and everything else throughout my years, but as my problems got worse, I had to cut my overtime down.
Norma, that is disappointing to hear. I'm glad you shared that story with us. Thank you for hanging on. That's Norma in Tonawanda. By the way, an update. My mom, who would remember better than I, said that it was $15 per pay period. So $15 per paycheck. I was close, but if it was the Showcase Showdown, I would have gone over. But according to my mom, that was $15 per pay period was taken out of my part-time job at the Jubilee Food Mart. And like I said, that just rubbed me the wrong way. I've been anti-union sense, and obviously I have people in my life who aren't anti-union. I have people in my life who work in unions, and they're very happy with where they work. So this is a me thing, but obviously I get paid to share my opinion, and this is where my point comes up. That's where my opinion is based off of, and I thought it was fair to share that with you. Why I have these feelings about unions. It was obviously a small sample size, only 6 months, $15 a pay period taken out of my paycheck when I was working maybe 15 hours a week, maybe. So it rubbed me the wrong way. What did I see for that money? And $15, when you're making $7 an hour, $15 is a lot of money, right? When you're making $7.25 an hour, $15 is more than 2 hours of pay. So, of course, that's going to, unless the union, you know, supported me for something, I needed the use of the union, but they were never there for me. Not that I needed them. And then when they said, if you want your voice to be heard, you got to come to a meeting, I'm paying because I have to go out of my way to have my voice be heard. You come to me. The hell am I paying for? 803-0930. Walter works in a union shop. Walter in Lewiston. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I have a few questions because I don't know the details of the situation, but I worked at a closed shop. And at a closed shop, you had to pay your union dues, whether you're a member or not.
Okay.
You didn't have to join the union. And the part-time people did not pay union dues. You had to be full-time 40 hours a week, whether it be seasonal or otherwise. So I question if you do have to join the union to work there. I worked at a job where if I didn't join union, I was let go. They went union.
Walter, I'm not sure the answer of that 100%, but someone did text in saying in New York State over the last few years that they have kind of loosened that to where you don't need to pay the dues. You can opt out, but I'm not sure how difficult that process is.
Well, like I said, we had to pay your dues regardless if you're a member of the union or not. That was a closed shop. Just to work there. You didn't have to be a union member. That's what I'm questioning. If they're not go ahead, I'm sorry.
So not only, I'm just, that statement is surprising. So you could opt out of the union, but you were still responsible for union dues?
Correct.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, Walter. I'd be very...
I know that. I did it.
Oh, no, I believe you. I just, that...
Ask people about a clothes shop if they have to pay the union dues, regardless if you're a member. I put it out to anybody.
Wow.
Some people out there are in closed shops, and they're not backed by the union.
Oh, my gosh. Walter, I mean, like I said, I was technically in the union, and I was upset with the money coming out of my check. I couldn't imagine not being in the union and still seeing that money coming out of your paycheck.
That's your option. You don't have to be a member of the union.
Wow. Well, Walter, I appreciate the story. It's disappointing to hear stuff like that. You have to, you can opt out of the union, but still have to pay the dues. I don't get it. I'm sorry. That's just not me. Someone just texted in saying, Joe, change your subject. Maybe you should move on. Why? This is a local story. This is getting national attention. And there are a lot of people that want to talk about it. So I'm sorry to the one texter that wants me to change the subject. But I think this is actually a timely subject of stuff that's going on in Western New York right now. But 803-0930 is the number. The Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board also open. Rambo Jim in North Tonawanda. Jim, what do you think of this Starbucks situation?
If the employees voted this union in, that's just fine with me. Now, I can tell you from my experience in a union, let's say that a year from now, or better off, I'll say 2 years from now, that the employees at Starbucks determine that the people that are now representing them just aren't getting the job done. No problem. They can vote out the old union, vote in a new union. But as a union worker, your future, you have a lot more to say about your future. And I can tell you from my 25 years as a New York State correction officer, one of the things that I liked about unions is they protect your job. I'll give you an example. I was an eyewitness to a use of force. It just so happened that a black officer used physical force against a black inmate. Okay. Because I was an eyewitness, I was called to testify. Before I testified, the union representative called me on the phone at home, on my home phone, and said, look, I can't tell you to lie. He said, I can't, and I don't want you to lie. But he said, I'm suggesting that you choose your words very carefully, because he said, if you say the wrong thing, this black officer could lose his job. He's done. He's finished, and he's got a wife and three kids. Now, it was using a football analogy. You know how, like in a football game, the official could call pass interference, and he could say it was offensive pass interference, defensive pass interference. I did not lie, but I just testified to the truth in a way that I made absolutely sure that guy did not lose his job, and I was given a heads up by a union representative that whether or not this guy kept his job or lost it was going to be based upon my testimony as an eyewitness. So a union can help you and protect your job and keep you within the boundaries of the law, because I did not lie on the advice of the union representative. If when your job is on the line, that's when you're going to be really glad that you do have a union to watch out for you, Joe. And these guys at Starbucks, like I said, they're going to have they can keep their union their future in their own hands. And like during my time on the job, we got 6 weeks paid vacation, being that we were represented by a union. Management could not always tell me exactly when I was going to take the 6 weeks. I could do what was called vacation swaps. No, I'm a holiday guy, a Christmas guy, Thanksgiving guy. So I would work vacation swaps with officers that wanted the summer off. I don't care about the summer. So I would find guys that wanted the summer off. I'd give away all my summer vacation. And see, I could, because I, with the union in that, I could go take my 6 weeks when I wanted to take it and not when management told me to take it. That was another benefit of being in a union. I can go on vacation when I say I go on vacation, not when management tells me to go on vacation.
But, Jim, do you think for these part-time employees at Starbucks, it's going to take a lot for them to actually see the benefits of a union? It's a lot different in a part-time position than a full-time. Would you agree?
Yeah, that's true. But I'm saying if they don't like it a year from now, 2 years, a year and a half, 2 years from now, and they feel that they're not getting their money's worth, they could A, vote to get another union, or possibly, I would imagine, I'm not a lawyer, but what do you think? Would they be able to, like, get together and vote themselves out of the union? Can they do that?
That would be that's a great question, Jim. I'm hoping someone has the answer, but I appreciate the insight, Rambo Jim in North Tonawanda, opening up a line for you at 803-0930. Someone said, worked in a union, they never did anything but take my money. So this person kind of online for what I'm saying. I'd like to know from you, 803-0930-*930. What do you think of this push to unionize? And what do you think these Starbucks employees will be saying in a year? Now, Jim had a different answer than me. Rambo Jim says that they'll vote in a new union, right? That they might not like the current union that takes over, and they can pick a different union. I think in a year, you're at least going to hear from the part-time employee saying, I want to opt out of this. Now, someone texted in that in 2017, you do have the option to opt out of the union. It's kind of muddled if it's not a government job. Can you get out of paying the dues? So that's also interesting. 803-0930-*930. Vinny is in Depew. Vinny, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, man? Appreciate the call. I appreciate the answer for this. So yeah, first, obviously, key point, Starbucks. I worked on, before I say anything really quick, let me just slow down. I'm a moderate, my choice. I look at both sides of the spectrum on any issue. I've also worked right out of high school in a union, hated it, didn't understand it. Why am I paying dues and why are they here? Later on in life, worked for corporations, and I've seen the greed, the push, the squeezing that they do now, especially in our fast-paced world, 2021, 22 coming up. They're squeezing more out of you, trying to get you to do more so you either quit or, you get fired, And I think unionizing is great for the aspect of it, of the specific type of industry, the specific job, workplace that you work at. And I think they're great, and then I don't think they're so great, depending on what you do for work. For the Starbucks situation, I agree that, with what you were saying earlier, if they're going to notice the money beforehand, it all depends. If the business model is to hire a bunch of part-time workers, the union doesn't make any sense, my personal opinion. For the full-time workers, the ones that, like, let's say people are like, I'm calling off, and then you get the two people working there who actually care and give a hoot, they're the ones that want, I think, to get unionized. And all the new people are like, yeah, let's get unionized. I think it's a way to just not overload the worker.
But Vinny, let me ask you, in that situation, because you just brought up something that I can relate to working in retail back in the day. If you have someone that continuously calls off, if you're unionized, doesn't the union have that employee that continuously calls off? Don't they have their back and make it more difficult to get rid of an employee like that?
You know what? You're right.
I agree with what you're saying, Vinny. It's a situational thing. And I think Starbucks, with the number of part-time employees they have, that's why I think it's very interesting that they're the ones making this push.
That does bring a good point. We all want to think that everyone's going to work hard and be great, but you, like you said, you brought back that you triggered something in my mind from like 11 years ago. And I'm like, you know what? That guy was just, he would do the bare minimum. And I'm going in there right out of high school, running around like a crazy person. Everyone's like, slow down. I'm like, why? That's not what I was trained to do in life. What is this? Oh, it's a union.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's unfortunate they do protect the jobs of everybody, even the lazy ones, And I didn't like that, that was me being younger. And then now that I'm older and I worked for a corporation and they kept micromanaging is what will kill an employee.
Well, Vinny and Depew, I appreciate the call. Appreciate the insight. Opens up a line for you at 803-0930. We'll be right back after this.